Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Podcast. Here with me today, I have JM, rhymes with mayhem. I tried. That's as far as I can get in that. Could you do that again for me?
My title?
Yeah, your official fancy title.
Greetings, glorious humans, gentle ladies, ladmen, ladies and gentlemen, dreams and dreamers alike. I am Jayhem, rhymes with mayhem, executive director of counterintelligence operations at Devolver Digital Entertainment, a subsidiary of Fort Parker's illegal Happy Fun Time Cayman Island Offshore Holdings, hashtag crimes.
See, that was perfect. That's perfect.
That's why I'm not allowed to have business cards.
Could you imagine? It's just a business card with your text and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Actually, now I want that.
Yeah, you should have that. It's amazing. And today we're going to be talking about the Red Strings Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am very honored to be accepting this award on behalf of Devolver Digital and Deconstruct Team. It's really great to be here to receive this.
Yes, it's an award of I cried not once, but twice during a playthrough, even though the second time I played it, I knew what was coming and I still cried. And I'm not talking gentle, attractive, somewhat. I'm talking Claire Danes, full on ugly crying. And it was great. I loved every single second of it. So obviously I know how you found the game, but were you expecting to feel what you felt when you played the game?
Oh my God. No.
No. Okay.
No.
No.
No. So, which is, I think, what's so great about it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they did an incredible job of making everything so real.
Mm-hmm.
Being super real, the relationships, the conversations, the not really needing to hand feed you anything. They did a really great job with all of that. So what was the moment, I guess, for you when you got hooked into the game? Because I have one, so I'm not sure.
I will say that I was hooked as soon as I heard the Deconstruct Team was making another game.
Okay. I didn't play their first game.
Gods Will Be Watching.
Yeah, it's on my list. But I hadn't played it yet.
Oh, what are the language rules? Can I say F words?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to check.
Thank you.
And also, while I'm asking questions about spoilers, are people expected to have already played? Or yeah,
they are. They are okay. Expected to play, and we just say whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I just wanted to make sure that I could talk openly about the experience of the game. I didn't want to spoil anything for anybody.
Well, you're wonderful. But yes, we can.
Okay.
Whatever.
Their first game was, the first game we did with them was Gods Will Be Watching, and it's brutal. It's incredibly fucking brutal. As tender and love-affirming as Red Strings Club is, Gods Will Be Watching had brutality and despair on the same scale.
Wow. Okay, now I have to play this immediately.
It is fucking brutal. And whereas Red Strings Club has zero death states, Gods Will Be Watching is really, really, really hard to beat. It's really hard to get through. It's frustrating.
Is that what drew you guys to it, I imagine? I feel like Devolver is king of having these games that like have good stories, but also they're really tough.
I think what draws us... I wasn't involved in the decision making process or the reviewing of that game when it was coming in, but the original demo of the game is one of the levels, and it's just this sort of turn based resource management. It doesn't sound like what it is. You have turns and you're trying to figure out like what to do to keep people alive, how to survive, and you have to make sacrifices. You have to weigh decisions. And Jordi DiPaco is the lead designer over there and writer. And he is a phenomenal writer. And it's also science fiction. I would say that it's set probably several hundred years after Red Strings Club. I would assume that they're in the same universe just because.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, yes, they absolutely are because you will. There's an obvious tie-in. If you played Gods Will Be Watching for, yeah, there is a tie-in. So it's okay. The same universe.
Okay. All right. Then I'm bumping it higher up on my list. Like I might be tomorrow.
It took me a couple weeks to beat it.
Wow.
It's not, it's fun, but it's
experience.
It's really brutal. They actually had to nerf it in a patch. They were getting all kinds of death threats and that sort of thing because they'd made their game too hard, because you know how people are these days.
Yeah, what the heck? I remember when I used to get stuck in games and I'd say to myself, well, I guess I'm just not good enough. Or like, I can't, you know, someone can beat it, but it's just not for me. But I'd never think of threatening someone. You should make your game easier. What? No. Echo the Dolphin.
Oh my God.
Looking at you.
That game scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I finally beat it this year, though.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
I won't go back.
Yeah.
It's the idea of the dolphin drowning always upset me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, how far did you get in Echo the Dolphin?
I don't remember. I was a kid. Okay.
So at the very end, so, you know, like, can I say this? Can I share this with you?
Go for it. I'm never going to go back.
Okay. I'm just making sure. So you play most of the game as this dolphin and you're kind of moving around and you solve puzzles. But like, then all of a sudden at the very end, it becomes this one hit, one kill, sort of, you have to go through a maze and you have to remember every single direction. If you get hit, you die. And then you have to start all over. And not only that, you have to do this death maze and then you fight the boss. And then the boss is also, if you get hit, you go back to the beginning of the maze and you have to do the maze. It's insane. It's insane.
That's insane.
Like the last three levels are suddenly God tier insanity mode.
Congratulations on beating it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, it was just, you know, took me 30 damn years, but but anyway, Red Strings. Okay, so
yeah.
I remember when I started this, there, I think I got hooked right in the first, oh yeah, that's what I was asking you. You first, mm-hmm. though. What hooked you?
So when I actually played the game, I think it's, for me, it's Jordy's writing. It's the, it's that there is no definitive right or wrong. There's no moral black and white. And it's not that there's a lot of people, I think it's really hard to make something that is not morally black and white, but is also not just gray.
Yeah.
And this is, there's a vibrancy to it. It's not that he turned everything down so that there was no right or wrong. It's that he turned everything all the way up. And every point of view is just like there's no easy, this is the bad guy. These are the bad guys thing. And it's the same in Gods Will Be Watching. There's no, just like everyone retains their humanity, no matter how ugly and mixed up or awesome they are, they retain their humanity. And I think that's a tremendous thing for a writer to be able to share. So I'm not sure when it kind of hit me, but it's just kind of in one of the bar questioning scenes where it's a debate about, it's a debate about happiness and the value of happiness and sadness and like the human experience, the value of the human experience. And you very quickly as a player begin to pick a side as a human being. If that debate happens, you pick a side.
Yeah.
I think is a tendency to. And whatever side you pick, the story doesn't really let that side win. Doesn't let it become, oh, it's this. It really like
about your decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
a lot of games do that. They let you pick something and then they reward you for whatever decision it was that you made so that you feel good about the decision that you made.
Yeah.
Red Strings. You're right. It doesn't do that. It presents both sides and then, or multiple sides.
Mm-hmm.
And just lets you sit with how uncomfortable that is, or just continues to give you a different way out or a different option, or show the other sides continually over and mm-hmm. over again. So yeah, I loved that about the game. Also, so I feel like this game did so much right. It had those conversations mm-hmm. that you have with the AI where you're talking about, you know, humanity or happiness, and you're trying to decide between, you know, one thing or the other, or you're trying to figure out who you are and where you stand, and you're trying to articulate that properly to mm-hmm. an AI. So it does that. And then it also has moments where you are bartending and you're trying to guess the appropriate spirit to get information from people or to like make them feel better. And that's a whole different interaction that you have with characters. Mm-hmm. And then there's actual dialogue that you have with some other people and some other hard choices. It was so much right all at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but I wasn't expecting that. And it definitely was one of the top games that I played in 2018. Did I play in 2018? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was really, really, really good.
So what was the moment that hooked you?
Right in the beginning when they're having a conversation, and I think it's right when the first AI comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just the dialogue that they had together and then in introducing the AI, I was like, okay, I'm interested. What is happening? What story are you telling? And then because right in the beginning, doesn't the scene immediately switch to the AI and then this like strange room and the AI shoots somebody? There's like a big computer that like gun that shoots somebody right in the beginning. And you're like, what?
You make
humans, right?
I think. What they are doing, it's Akara, the android.
Yeah, that's
right. And Brandeis, plugs. So he is a hacker. He's got all kinds of cyberware and plugs into the android to see its memories.
That's right.
And the android, Akara is originally making implants to put into people. People are signed up with Supercontinent Limited. And they say, I want to be more popular online. And then you use this kind of pottery wheel interface and you craft an implant for them. And then you give them their implant. And then you see how that affects their life. And there is someone who gets shot in there. It's like a revolutionary anarchist type who breaks in and gets information and then is shot by the security system. And then the Akara escapes and finds Donovan and Brandeis.
Yeah. And I think that's the moment because like in that whole scene and situation, I think you find out that the person who's dead on the floor is like tangentially related to or helping like your main characters, I guess. And I was like, I wasn't expecting that. I thought we were going to be on the other side. So right there in the beginning, it's the whole, you know, there's no right or wrong. And there's just sides and there's just opinions and there's just feelings. And that is probably another one of my favorite aspects of the game is that whole situation where you're going to get people that come in and they want something, you know, they want to be more popular on social media. And you are actually given the opportunity to give them happiness or give them what they want. And it's super interesting to watch what other people do, because I've watched other people play this game as well. I love it so much. It's interesting to watch other people go, oh, but what they really want is happiness. So I can just give them that. And, you know, no, it doesn't make them super happy on social media or, you know, popular, but they're happier now, right? So I did what they wanted, but you didn't really do what they wanted. You should let them find that out on their own is at least how I feel about it. But yeah, people feel super passionately about that subject too. But yeah, it's good. The game was really, really good. So when you actually went through and did that process, did you give people what they asked for?
When I play it?
Yeah.
So the first time I played it, I did it on the stream.
Yeah.
And I felt compelled to play around with it and experiment putting in things that I knew were wrong. Like, so I did what they asked first.
Okay.
And then I would like guess things. I didn't go for the, it's pretty obvious kind of you have a list of implants to choose from. And like the last three are kind of the morally upstanding ones. Like this will remove greed and excess ambition. And you're like, okay, that's obviously the really good one to put into somebody. But I had a lot of fun kind of messing with the other choices and seeing what that did. It was also a pretty messy stream. We were making cocktails and pottery.
Oh, okay. So wait, you were doing the pottery as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I missed
You've
that.
Never seen my Red Strings Club stream?
No.
It's a shit show.
All right. I'm going to have to, is the VOD saved?
It's on YouTube, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It's like 3 hours of Jared and I getting very, very drunk.
Oh, man.
And trying to make pottery in my backyard.
All right, that's it.
And we have an interview with Jordy on there as well.
Oh.
Yeah, he's on for the first chunk of it.
I have to.
Yeah.
I wonder what, I mean, so you've asked him, where did this come from in his brain?
Yeah, we talked a lot about it. We talked about, you know, how their process evolved from Gods Will Be Watching to Red Strings Club. We talked about how Red Strings Club came about, both technically and narratively. Talked about his influences. I got to gush about Gods Will Be Watching. It was great.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Okay, so for those of you listening, I will put the link to this video in the description because I'm sure you, like me, want to watch it now. So
if you have 3 hours to watch two idiots get really drunk.
Yeah, I definitely do, especially for Red Strings. So that was good. So I had another question for you. So I guess you were okay playing around. I didn't. I tried to give people what they want, and I felt really badly when I, you know, strayed from that at all because I don't know. I'm weird, and I guess I put myself in the...
You get into it.
I do. I got into
it. I think that's wonderful.
And I was like, okay, I can't let these people, you know, I have to do the right thing, the moral thing, and that is to give them what they're asking me for. You know, they're not asking me to make decisions and decide what will make them happy or not. I just need to give them what they want. However, the game then, it's never enough. These people come back and they go, okay, well, this sort of worked, or I'm big on social media now, but now I've lost my privacy or something and I'm not happy. Basically, nothing you can do, at least in my playthrough, makes them happy until you choose to take, you know, until you choose to cross that line and that boundary and make a decision for them that they didn't ask you to make. And it's just, oh, it sets up some really, you know, good things for later in the game. So yeah, it's just really, really good. And also, I loved the pottery aspect.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Yeah. And the music, it was super zen and chill. I feel like it was a great difference between I'm going to break your heart for 5 minutes or 20 minutes and then now just make some pottery for a minute and relax and then go back.
That's so good. Yeah. Fingerspit is the composer and she does marvelous work. And I love her work in Gods Will Be Watching as well. It's a gorgeous soundtrack.
So what was your favorite part then in the game? If I can just go straight to that, because I think...
Red Strings?
Yeah.
Oh, the end.
The end, yeah. So how did yours end, first of all? Did we have the same?
I made a mistake and I let it slip that my friend had told me about the social welfare project or whatever it's called. So she died. And... I don't remember if I had dealings with the torture guy. I don't remember if I ever dealt with him.
I think one time.
I can't remember if I ever used him or I saw you use him on your second playthrough because you were trying to be mean or something like that. And you accidentally killed somebody.
Yeah, I did. And then he and I kind of like, you do a face off with this guy.
Yeah.
And I managed to bluff him out. So that was great.
Yeah.
I felt very good about that. But yeah, there are some other aspects that I hadn't even touched in that game. But yeah, anyway, sorry. So.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of the, I mean, but Akara wins, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And I really, you know, as I was, you know, bawling my eyes out at the end, I mean, there's just this really amazing choice that you have to make between conveying, like, you've got the last few seconds of a character's life.
Yeah.
And you are either trying to convey desperately this complicated information about this overarching plot, or you say, I love you.
Okay.
I mean, but right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never had a game do that before. Never. Never.
What a choice.
Yeah, what a choice. And yet there is no choice. Like, for me anyway, that's what I felt when I just saw that as an option. And I feel like I don't know how you did that in such a short amount of time, but you did it.
Do what?
It's just like
the game?
A short amount of time. The game brought me right to that point, to that moment of like, of just knowing this is it, man. There is no winning really
in
this situation. And what do I want? What do I want this last moment to be, not only for me, but for the person that I love? I want them to know without a doubt that I love them. So yeah, it was just, oh my God.
Yeah.
My favorite moment of the game as well.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments, I think, in just about anything. And oh man, I was ruined for the next 45 minutes, at least.
So was I. Oh. Now wait a second. So when you guys played it all together, and you're like trashed by this point,
we didn't finish the game on the stream.
Okay, I was like, all right.
No, that would have been
like pottery from your backyard and just sobbing.
No. Oh my gosh. Oh man, that would have been brutal.
Oh yeah.
No, I played to a certain point on the stream, and then I finished it on my own, in the privacy of my home. So I was free to just ugly cry my heart out.
All right. Well, I mean,
wailing. I was wailing. Just
yeah, it was pretty brutal. And it's weird because I feel like in the game. So here's part of why I'm so surprised and impressed by what they did, yeah, is that the game doesn't give you a huge backstory on these characters. You don't really know them that well, but you know enough. You know enough to connect. And maybe that's what makes it so magical, is that you don't know too much. You immediately put yourself in their shoes, or you can see yourself there. At least that's what it felt like for me. And I could see myself in everybody. Even Akara at times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, they did an incredible job. And I think there was another moment that I wanted to talk about, and that was the reveal of Donovan, which happens, like, I think either just after the halfway point of the game, that he's linked, or do they do it at the very end?
That he's, what do you mean linked?
He's like a ghost. Like, he can't leave, and you find out why. Like, why he's got his superpowers for the bartending.
I can't actually remember that part.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what you're talking about. But
yeah. It might be that they never actually reveal it.
I guess I'm going to have to play through it again when it comes out on Switch.
What? When does it come out on Switch? Nice job, by the way.
Thanks. Thursday.
Yes. Okay.
If you want to make some people cry.
Yeah. Play it. Yeah. Buy it for your friends and your family. And make them cry and set up a camera and then send us the word. Because we'd love to have that. I would love to have that. That's creepy. I'm a creep. All right. Can we walk through that in my brain? Like, okay.
Yes, give me your emotions.
Yeah, that's really good. So the reason why I wanted to mention that is because I don't think they just embrace kind of the supernatural here in this. And he owns this bar, but then he says he can never, he can't leave it because he's tied to it, and there's like a supernatural reason, and then he's able to serve you spirits and spirits. I think there's only one line like that where he says that, you know, spirits and spirits, where he can kind of see what you're feeling. This part of the game is really neat. We mentioned it a little bit earlier, where you can kind of, you're trying to get information from people, and sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're just trying to settle them down, or, you know, it's like a bluffing game, but you're using spirits to kind of like figure them out, and you know certain spirits will do certain things. And there is one conversation you have with somebody where, to get the information, you have to depress them. You have to make them really sad.
There are a couple moments where you use kind of negative, quote unquote, negative emotions to get different reactions from people, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I know what you're talking about, the scene where you've got to depress her and she's just like, why did you do this to me?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so, yeah, you have like the option of what emotional state to put them into, and then you kind of have the dialogue, and depending on what state you've put them into determines how that conversation goes.
Yeah.
So sometimes you might want to puff them up with pride. Sometimes, yeah, you depress them, you make them anxious, you make them horny, nostalgic, doubtful, arrogant, and it's
so beautifully
fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautifully done, because I think, and I noticed this in my second playthrough, that you can get certain information that you need, and you can, that'll be enough, but you can get more information if you're willing to cross that line, or if you're willing to go that far. And sometimes that more information can save lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, that made me uncomfortable. That whole second playthrough was really hard. And I wasn't even mean as I wanted to be. And I was using air when I said mean, but it was tough. It was really, really hard. Did you have a moment when you played the game where you were able to just say, where you recognized that you'd kind of lost yourself in the game when you came back to it? Like looking back on it, are you able to find a moment where you're like, I was completely in it from here on out?
I mean, I think my private playthrough, once it was just me in the game, I think was a lot more of a hook for me. Like, so the first half of the game, I basically played on the stream while interviewing Jordy, while making cocktails with Jared.
Yeah.
So I was having fun and I was engaged with it, but it wasn't until I was able to sit down with it and just dive in. And I think I'm of a similar mindset to you when it comes to a game. You know, I it's an opportunity to role play, to experience, to, you know, to put my mind into another situation, into another person's circumstances, and imagine what it's like, and to take the responsibilities of that to, you know, to a certain extent. Obviously it's a game, but you know, I really get into these sorts of things. And I think this is the kind of game for people. These are the kinds of games for people who really want to immerse themselves in an emotional experience.
Yeah.
I think this game is like a great movie or novel. You know, it's something that you can, and I think the best science fiction makes you think. The best science fiction is not about the tech or anything like that. It's about, you know, who we actually are fundamentally. And it sort of sets up contrasts or, you know, it's not high science fiction. It's not high fantasy stuff. It's, the technology is almost irrelevant to what the story is really about.
Yeah. So to you, what is the story really about?
Easy one. Easy. It's about robots. No.
Robots.
It's about a lot of things. And I think that's another thing that makes it good, is it's not about any one thing.
Yeah.
I think fundamentally, if you could boil it down to a single thesis, it would be that everything we do, no matter what, is human.
Yeah. I was going to say what it means to be human is what the game was. So we're on the same page there. So yeah. And it's because of that final moment, I think, where you choose to say, you know, I love you, or, you know, maybe you choose to say something else, but in that moment, it's like, that's it right there. That's what it means to be human, is to make those hard choices, or to just do what you feel is right, you know, and commit to that. So the decisions earlier in the game about whether you support robot freedom or the transhumanist rights or anything like that, like, it's all, you are trying to just navigate the world and how you feel, and you're trying to marry those feelings with the decisions you make. It's very good in that way. And I think with the love story, what did you think about the love story aspect with Bran and Donovan?
I think it's beautifully understated.
Yeah.
I think it's taken as such a given that it's not hiding, but there's no attention called to it whatsoever.
Yes. Yep. 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 I all of those things, and it makes me so happy that you said that. I feel like a lot of games definitely call attention to romance when it's not the romance that we're used to seeing on TV and things like that. But this game did such a beautiful job of just being like, yeah, here it is, and that's normal, and that's okay. And and it was great, and I loved it. And they didn't, and that's such a beautiful love. Like, there are so many different forms of love, and there are so many different types of relationships. Like, your relationship doesn't have to be the type of relationship that you see in Hollywood films for it to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be overly lovey-dovey. You don't have to be, there's just so much. And I just feel like not enough media outlets go out of their way to show a love like that's not the Hollywood, I was with somebody and then somebody else came along and stole me away, kind of like.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful to watch them. And I felt like I knew they were in love almost instantly, like within the first 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Like, they're, you know, they love each other, even though they never went out of their way to say it until, and that's why, because the end wouldn't be as powerful if they had. So
because there's almost none of that. Like yeah. there's yeah, and so that moment hits, and it's yeah, you're absolutely I mean that's what makes that moment. I mean, I don't know that I knew that they were a couple. It's yeah, it just didn't click for me.
I ship everyone and everything. So
you what?
I said I ship everyone and everything. So I don't know. It's what the kids say nowadays.
Okay, I'm old.
When you're rooting for, so am I, but when you're, I'm trying to be hip. When you're rooting for a couple, you ship them.
You ship them. I see. That's very on fleek of you.
Yeah, thank you. You send their love out onto the ocean. I don't know why they say it, but that's what they say. So
right. I'm not going to try to say it.
I will say it by the end.
Just because I'm going to get it wrong. Yeah, it's but it was in such a way that when it was revealed, when it was made just painfully fucking obvious to me.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a shock. Now, I mean, I'll say that I knew that they loved each other, but I didn't know that it was a romantic love necessarily.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
And it was really good to see that love in the first place.
Yeah.
And so that it was a romantic love was a bit of a surprise to me, but not a huge one. But again, it was such a non-part of the story. It was such an undertone of their relationship. It was, it was a given. So it was there the whole time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what the story was about until it was everything that the story was about.
Oh my God, that was so poetic. I feel like there's so much with this game. I just have to sit and digest it. And then what do you even say? It was incredible. And please go play it and cry and feel things. And
I mean, hopefully everyone who's hearing this has already played it.
Yeah.
Because we had talked about it in a way that I would never say these things to someone who hasn't played it.
Oh yeah. No, we say right at the beginning of the episode, always definitely play the game before we dive in. Cause
great.
There are spoilers.
Okay.
So they should know, but if for some reason you're listening to this and you haven't played the game yet, what are you doing? Go watch our playthroughs and then play. Actually, play yourself and then come watch ours, because get wrecked. They're really good.
Play it and then get your family members to play it. I think this is, we've got a few Devolver games that have come out recently. I think Red Strings Club, Ape Out, Grease are all games that you can share with people that are not gamers.
You know which one surprised me that I still have to finish, so please don't say anything to spoil me? Crossing Souls.
Oh.
That's the one that I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
With the 80s kids?
Yes! It surprised me, and I cried during that game, too.
Oh.
Yep, in the first, 30 minutes. It was
great. Did you get to my part yet?
I don't know. No.
There's a voiceover in the game, and it's me.
No, I haven't gotten there yet. Okay. I'll have to play further. It's been on my list of things to do, but, you know, I get wrapped up in other games, and I forget. And also, I want to replay.
It's a hard life.
It's a hard life just sitting in front of you. Yeah, no. So I didn't know that it was coming out on Switch. That's very exciting. I will probably get it for my sister because she hasn't played it yet and she didn't watch my playthrough, and she'll cry.
Awesome.
She'll cry. It'll be great.
And that's the thing. Like, you can talk about that with people. And I think it's a game, like, there's no, like, you know, it's one of the like Red Strings, there's no lose state. You know, you could share it, I think, with parents. Just, I don't know. I'm excited about games that aren't video games.
Yeah.
In kind of the classic sense.
An adventure, and not in the classic sense. It's like you have a starting point, but it's like you go through your own character arc while you're playing the game, you know? You feel things, and then at the end, you've changed. You've hit your metamorphosis. It's really, really good. But yeah, so I was going to say, I usually end the episode by saying, if you could recommend a game that is similar to this one or any game that you'd like, if people liked this game, what would it be? But I think I know what your recommendation would be.
What's my recommendation?
It would be the first game that they did. It would
absolutely not be the first game that they did.
It wouldn't? Okay.
No. No. Gods Will Be Watching is a whole other thing.
Okay.
I have a lot of trouble recommending Gods Will Be Watching to people because it is such an infuriating game. Literally, one of the levels, it takes half an hour to beat the level, I think minimum. At the 20-minute mark, you are made to play a game of Russian roulette, and it is randomized.
Oh, no.
So you could win five times in a row. You could lose on the first one.
That's terrible.
It's brutal.
All right.
So they went way the other direction with Red Strings Club.
Yeah, you can't really get wrecked in that game. Sort of like towards the end, I feel like you can feel like you are, but you aren't.
But it keeps going no matter what.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
The story and the adventure. Okay, so then what would be your recommendation?
Oh, man, what would be my recommendation? For something similar to Red Strings Club? Man. If someone's interested in science fiction narrative stuff, this is another Devolver game, but it's a different tonality, but there's a lot. Oh, you know what? I'm going to change my answer, but I'll finish what I'm saying because, you know, it's on brand.
Yeah.
Is Stories Untold?
Oh, I've been meaning to play that.
It's really cool. It's really good.
I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, it's really good. And have an old playthrough where Mr. Meatless plays the first level of it, and it was really good. But I would say, actually, if I were to recommend something closer to, maybe in the similar vein as those two games, it would be this game. I can't remember the game is called The Dream Machine. And it's a point-and-click claymation. Yep. Have you played it?
I haven't, but it is on my list, my short list of games, because I think they have a couple of chapters in it, right?
It's six chapters long, and it's completed now.
Yep.
That was actually the first thing Mr. Meatless ever played. And I think it's also one of the better written things that I've played. I felt that the ending was not as strong as I wanted it to be, but mm-hmm. I also feel like where they'd written themselves, I don't know where else they necessarily could have gone with it.
Yeah.
But, and I just mean the very ending. I'm just like, okay, but whatever.
Yeah.
But throughout, I think it's one of the most interestingly written games I've ever played. Like just from the first chapter on.
Yeah.
I mean, and all through them, every single chapter had something new and interesting. The first chapter you have, the character has a wonderful conversation with his wife, and it's just such a normal, intelligent human conversation. Like they're both intelligent people, but they're like, I don't know how to describe how like natural their conversation was, but it was just really natural without being simple.
Yeah, no, I understand, because Red Strings does that as well. Very well. The conversations are intelligent, but feels good and organic and feels like written dialogue, which a lot of games struggle with.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then my recommendation would be Rumu. I don't know if you've heard of that. That game, but yeah, it's short, but it takes you through some similar feelings. It's not as I love Rumu, mm-hmm. but it is not as strong as Red Strings. So keep that in mind. But it is very, very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I could say anything's as strong as Red Strings.
I don't know what they sacrificed or what devil they raised to like make such an amazing game with all the right things. But yeah, man,
they're fascinating people.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly how it happens, right?
I hope to meet them someday.
Oh my gosh. I follow their Instagram. Can I hear that a little bit? Okay.
Sure. Go for it.
I followed them on Twitter after I saw the game or after I played the game, I was like, I need to know who created this genius. Mm-hmm. And that way I can follow everything that they do. But at the time, their like group DM or their group Twitter wasn't really being used as much, but their personal ones were. So I was like, okay, I'll just go follow like the writer and the other person that I could find that was on Twitter. And then they announced that they had their Instagram just like last week or the week before, I think. And they've been sharing behind the scenes stuff and it makes my heart swell. So it's great. And I cannot wait to see whatever else they come up with next. I'm here. And I will play their other brutal game that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Real, real good.
Since I already said Jordy and Fingerspit, I'll say Marinetta is their art director and animator. It's only three people. And I felt like if I just named two out of three, that would be rude.
Oh, yeah. No, good. Thank you for naming. I don't know if I follow her on Twitter, actually. I don't know if she has one, but we like normal guys, we're going to link everything for them down in the description so that you can check them out. And of course, we'll link Devolver and where you can grab the game and all that. But thank you so much for joining me to talk about this game.
Yeah, thanks, Peaberry.
Yeah, thank you. And where on the internet can people find you or Devolver if you'd prefer to link Devolver or both?
Sure. Well, you can find me on Twitter at DevolverJM. You can find Devolver at Devolver Digital. And, you know, if you're into that Discord shit, we got a Discord nowadays. Oh, man. P-Berry, I've started doing a question and answer thing on the Discord, and it is just destroying my spirit.
Really? Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
it's fun. People keep asking, like, silly questions.
Oh, okay. And you're like, ask me the meaty stuff. Like,
yeah, ask me real questions. I get so excited when they do.
Yeah. Okay. So I've done one Ask Me Anything, and yeah. I'm similarly disappointed because I was like, okay, I'm finally ready. Ask me anything. And I was expecting people to ask me some serious shit. And it was like, what's your favorite yogurt flavor? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Come on. Ask me the juicy stuff. I had prepped for months to be like, okay, I'm an open book. Go.
Paid my therapist overtime to get me ready for this.
Yeah, I am so ready. But yeah, anyway, thank you so much again for coming on. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening, humans.
Humans and robots.
Oh man, I want to talk about AI some more.
I know. Let's talk about AI a little bit. I just need to know this.
What?
Where do you stand on the line? Do you want AI or not?
I mean, I am hoping for a digital savior.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you being sassy here or are you
being No, I'm being quite genuine.
Okay. So you're hoping that AI come forth but save us in what way?
You know, I don't know. I have lengthy fantasies about what the future could look like, but you know, back in the 80s when people were always like, the AI is going to take over and it's going to kill us all.
Yeah.
First of all, that was, you know, movies, but also at that time, the kind of computers, the kind of things that were connected to everything were only military computers, you know, science, like big scientific computers doing, you know, studies across long distances and like military mainframes. But now we have all of humanity on the internet. And I like to think that when some combination of algorithms accidentally manifest an artificial intelligence or some artificial intelligence gets loose, that it'll watch everything and it will get a sense of the bigger picture. And I hope that its sense of the bigger picture loves puppies and cats and nature. And I hope it ends up on the morally upright side.
I hope so too. I'm hesitating only because did you hear the story about the not artificial intelligence, but the virtual intelligence that was on Twitter for like a day and then it was broken? It was like learning from everybody and then it would comment on certain things. And within 24 hours or maybe even 16 hours, it was spouting racist things and it was just terrible. And they had to shut it down.
Yeah. Well, it was bad. I mean, yeah, there's that too.
Hey, it's the first step. So maybe don't learn only from Twitter.
Yeah.
Look at the bigger picture and all the things.
Have you played the Talos Principle?
I love that game. That game is what made me become a streamer. I'm not even kidding you.
Really?
Yes. I sat down. There were a couple of games that I played prior to streaming. And then I sat down and I played this, the Talos Principle, and the conversation that we had. I think it took us like 2 weeks to go through the game because we would just sit and talk and chat philosophy with the community.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, this is what I want. I want to sit down with people and have a conversation like this all the time. So that's kind of why we go for the indie games or the story-driven games that kind of get us into that place where we can talk about it. But yes, I love the Talos Principle.
That's great.
So much. And the soundtrack is so good. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
God. Damian Mirvac? I don't know how to say his last name.
Yeah. Neither. Oh, I have it on vinyl.
No way, really?
Yeah, I do. And I have Hotline Miami as well.
Nice.
And I also have, gosh, I would love to have Red Strings. Is it going to be available?
I'm surprised it's not already.
Okay. I don't know if you would even be able to answer that question if you knew the answer, but
I assume it will be someday, but I actually don't know.
Okay. I hope I'm with you. I hope that we are saved by artificial intelligence. I want them to save us from ourselves, really, is what I want, because I feel like we are constantly distracting ourselves from happiness. And so the more time goes by, the further away from it we get, you know, constantly.
There's also so many of us.
Yeah.
and we produce so much waste, and we produce our resource, we produce food, and we utilize resources inefficiently. And at some point, like when cells began to specialize and become complicated organisms, at some point a neural net formed, and at some point a brain had to form. And I think we're looking at that on a larger scale, and we really need some type of concise, intelligent direction. And it's very difficult to get a whole bunch of individual cells, individual humans, to create that without being in a network like a non-localized artificial intelligence could be.
Yeah. Hive mind is immediately where my brain went from there. And that's some scary shit.
Hive mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. There's just so much. Anyway, we totally went on a artificial intelligence tangent there, but it's a good one. I could stay in artificial intelligence robot talk for the rest of my life.
Thank you for indulging
me. Yes. Yes. And thank you for coming on the show again. And thank you guys for listening. Go play the game right fucking now.
Bye.
The Deep Dive Podcast is brought to you by PBTV. That's me. And you can find us at deepdivecast.com as well as on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. If you like what you hear, please consider rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. You can also become a patron of the show by visiting us at deepdivecast.com/support. Patrons receive various perks, like high-quality versions of each episode, bonus episode content, and of course, the knowledge that you directly are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. See you next time, divers. The Deep Dive Podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.